Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Some encouraging rulings coming down from the SCOTUS. And let's examine the question, are gays a problem? I mean, should we be concerned about homosexuality? I pledge my unwavering support for the president, Donald J. Trump. We face serious challenges moving into the 2024 election, and I believe it would be foolish to ignore them. So I'm doing a series addressing these challenges. Today, I want to point out what I believe could be the candidate challenge that Trump should watch. My thoughts on the newest offering from the Plandemic series, this one, The Great Awakening, a documentary experience from the creators of Plandemic. Let me go on record as endorsing this film and encouraging every patriot to view it. The link is here in my notes. Let me also alert you to a few things lacking, or at least in one area I was deeply disappointed, and I'll bring that to your attention in a minute. To make a man an offender for a word. You know, Michigan has gone over the top, my friends, passing a law that will make mispronouncing someone a felony punishable with a fine up to $10,000. Really? I'll not likely have time to address the burgeoning AI threat, except incidentally with my evaluation of the Great Awakening, perhaps. But we'll see about providing a more thorough look during one of my brain massage live streams, Comfort and Counsel. I go live Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday evenings, and you'll need to get on the notification list to know when I'm going to show up. So to do that, go to thebrainmassage.net, or just brainmassage.net, not the. Go to brainmassage.net, click on the contact button. And by the way, I'm having a problem with the contact form there, so you'll find a link I embedded there to one of my inboxes. Use it to send me an email that just simply says CNC me, the letter C, the ampersand C, and then the word me. Complete the form so I have your email address and you'll be added to the notifications list. Okay, let's get started, my friends. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, friends, let's start with some positive news, shall we? Some good rulings coming down from the SCOTUS. A divided court outlawed affirmative action in college admissions, striking down policies of admissions that are based on race. That's a good idea. I mean, racism is bad, isn't it? A postal worker forced to work Sundays won his case. The Supreme Court solidified a 1970s decision requiring employers to make all reasonable concessions to workers who conscientiously request to be given Sundays off to attend worship. A Christian graphic artist was sued because he would not design for homosexual weddings. The SCOTUS ruled in his favor. Christians cannot be forced to give services to persons engaging them in participation with activities that would violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. Biden's bid to forgive student loan debt defeated? Yeah, how about that? You mean Biden, the pretender president, can't just, you know, wipe out student indebtedness? Not any money owed to him, but money owed to, well, the taxpayer. He can't just go wipe it out. Go figure. The office of president doesn't have that power, really? You mean it's true what the Constitution says? The purse strings are placed under the control of the Congress? You know, not even a usurper, tyrannical president can just completely destroy the Constitution, at least not yet. And that is good news. Way to go, court. Hopefully this portends a conservative inclination in the court, as we do anticipate some massive election fights to reach the court soon. Let's examine the question. Are gays a problem? I mean, should we be concerned about homosexuals and homosexuality? A very honest man that I appreciate, admire, and follow pretty closely. A conservative fellow, for sure, God-fearing. He, along with many others like him, take the position that, you know, homosexuals aren't our problem. The gays aren't our problem. That's specifically what he said. and his partner and many others. I hear this a lot. They point out that it's only a small fraction of that community who are the militant activist types that concern us. Well, that is a legitimate observation to make that differentiation. And God-fearing Christian patriots do need to sort this thing out from within a biblical worldview. So gays aren't our problem. Well, okay, I get the point. Trump and some other conservatives are trying to make with this. In a show a while back, I mentioned that one of the challenges facing Trump with his Christian base is his attitude toward homosexuals. It is disconcerting to many Christians when he talks about how proud he seems to be to have their support. He was the first president to appoint an openly gay cabinet member. Why make a point of that? All right. Now, again, I love Trump. I'm supporting him 100%. But would we make a point of appointing a whoremonger to our cabinet? A person's sexual orientation or proclivities, this is something we want to talk about? Would we say, oh, looky here, I've overlooked the sexual proclivities of this serial fornicator? You might appoint someone who has that predilection. But would you boast about it? You pick the best guy for the job, that's it. And most applications, by the way, do not inquire as to sexual proclivities. I haven't applied for a job in so long, I've forgotten. So you don't wrap up a hire in statements that advance some immoral behavior. Is that a good idea? Like, you know, see, I like whoremongers too, and whoremongers like me. I don't subscribe to the value that jumping from one bonus hole to another, now that might be a little bit inside for some of you, but jumping from one guy to another, from one girl to another, whatever, is something to be promoted in society, to be singled out and made a point of when hiring someone. Give me a break. So why make a point out of hiring someone whose sexual proclivities violate some other divine law of God? You understand that this behavior is a violation of God's law. Okay, I do get it. You want to score political favors with these groups. You're not going to get elected to office on the homosexual vote. Okay, so you want me to get what you're saying. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you really want to promote this lifestyle choice? Or are you really making a statement that you buy into the born that way myth? Well, that's been totally debunked. The queers don't even like that anymore. It was useful for a while to put opposition to their behavior a little off balance, you know, like it's just a fetus. That was used to advance abortion. No one bothered to check and see that the word fetus means little child. That, you know, but bobbleheads, well, they're like that. You know, they just kind of go with whatever, react emotionally rather than rationally. Homosexual behavior most certainly ought to be regarded with contempt and disgust. It is a deadly behavior. It's offensive to God. It's offensive to reason. Reducing the life expectancy of homosexuals to roughly half that of normal men. It's blatantly contrary to the laws of God. It's an affront to God and to nature, by the way, to nature itself. Romans 1, 26, 27 clearly states the behavior is not only contrary to God's law, like adultery and fornication and incest and child abuse, sexual or otherwise. It goes farther. It crosses another barrier. Homosex violates the nature barrier. And I think an argument can be made for pedophilia to be a crossover, a breach of nature. I think it's a natural instinct to want to protect children, not abuse them, not feed your wicked lusts upon them. Give me a break. It's against nature. When one behaves contrary to one's own nature, it necessarily causes damage. The Bible makes it clear those who engage in this behavior receive in the body, their body, the, quote, recompense of their error, which was meat, end quote. And the word meat here means fitting or appropriate. That's Romans 1:27. If you want to read about the destructive consequences of engaging in that lifestyle, well, I provide a note here in my show notes that will take you to the information that will help you out with that. The sources include Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, American Family Physician, and others like Council on Scientific Affairs. This is serious stuff, my friends. And that's a seriously bad behavior. It's deadly. And this breach of nature breaks open a whole host of related errors. And you're watching it play out before your eyes. The whole gender confusion, breakdown, all that nonsense. We're into that because we began accepting this other deviant behavior. You're seeing it play right before your eyes. Now, pedophilia is being called a natural attraction. There was this meme circulating that was sent to me a little while back on Facebook. And it suggested that Facebook had allowed an ad to run that depicted an adult with a little girl a man with a little girl saying, quote, pedophilia is a natural sexual orientation, end quote. Well, I spoke to this in my pulpit Wednesday night, and you should go listen to that message, be helpful to you. I warned that I had not vetted the meme, however. Didn't take the time to do that. And the reason I went with it anyway, I don't usually do that, but the reason I went ahead and went with it is because I already know for a fact this is being said right out loud in front of God and everybody right now, and that some are attempting to introduce this idea into our culture. I did get a chance to vet it today. And sure enough, it is a fake ad. It did not run on Facebook as an advertisement. And Ted didn't actually endorse the ad. So what's the story here? This will be worth some time to explore. The ad was created from a stock image, and it was created to bring attention to TEDx conference that featured a speaker who gave a, quote, controversial presentation, end quote, on the subject of, quote, why our perception of pedophilia has to change, end quote. And we ask, well, change to what? Well, here it is. Quote, pedophilia is an unchangeable sexual orientation, end quote. So there was a conference hosted by TEDx in which a speaker made that statement. And by the way, TED refers to technology, entertainment, and design, and the organization, TED, sponsors conferences on these subjects. TEDx is a loosely associated branch off the popular TED Talks and provides a platform for private persons to do a TED-like conference. So what happened is this. Some folks who objected to this TEDx conference speaker and the statement they made about pedophilia created this meme as a way of bringing attention to it. And apparently they did not understand the distinction between TEDx and TED. I mean, there's a relationship, but it's not the same thing. And then the meme was posted on Facebook. True, it was on Facebook, but not as a paid advertisement. So now that we got all that cleared up, the acceptance of the unnatural behavior of homosexuality, something God calls an abomination, opens the door to accepting other perverse behaviors, such as pedophilia. You break one taboo, another taboo steps up for its chance. If you argue that homosexuality is an unalterable sexual orientation, well then, you get the point. When are they going to argue that rape is another unchangeable sexual orientation? Huh? You say, oh, well, that's going too far. That involves a crime. Well, I think pedophilia is a crime. And certainly, as far as God's concerned, so is homosexuality. A crime against his law. I'd say an adult taking advantage of the innocence of a child and perversely sexualizing that relationship earns a special place in hellfire where their damned soul will burn like a faggot until it's brought before the great white throne and cast into the lake of fire where it will swim in that fire for eternity. Now check your Bible. Ask Jesus what he thinks about this business of offending these little ones. Read Matthew 18. Pay attention. He said it'd be better for these miserable abusers of children to have a millstone tied to their filthy necks and them cast into the sea. And it would be better for them to cut off their wicked feet that carry them to their wicked deed and cut off their wicked hand they use in their wicked deed and pluck out the foul and wicked lusting eye they feed by their child porn and their child abuse. Jesus said that would be preferred to what they're going to get. And that's a fiery torment of hell. Yeah. Well, I'm just giving you a little Bible insight. I'm telling you what Jesus thinks. This is what Jesus said he thinks about this kind of thing. You want to tell me gays are not the problem? Like I said, you know, I get the point. But are you getting mine? I understand that not every homosexual is walking in full nudity in public like these at the Toronto Gay Pride March lately. Full nudity in front of children. That's just fine during Pride events. They get a special privileged pass. They get special rights, man. And you want pictures? Well, here, in my notes, viewer discretion advised for sure. I know you don't want to see it, and I understand that. But you know, it might be a good idea for you to know what you're, and I'm speaking rhetorically here. If the shoe doesn't fit, don't bother trying to put it on. It's a shoe fit thing here, okay? But it might be good for some of you to know what your indifference is encouraging. What you sticking your head in the sand and your unwillingness to allow your sensitive sensibilities to be shocked into action against this behavior, it might just encourage you to get involved, just maybe, you'll look at this and you'll get it. The behavior is not okay. That whole lifestyle is not okay. That community is not okay. And if you subscribe to the broken window principle in law enforcement, have you ever heard of that? That's Giuliani's thing, worked real well in New York. You stop law breaking at the window breaking place, and then you'll curb it. It doesn't develop into something more. How about you object to breaking the window of natural sexual behavior as a way to stem progression into these more outrageous perversities? And yet a Christian who shows up and reads some scripture at a gay pride event, well, now that's just not acceptable. He was arrested for indecent and indecorous behavior. Can you believe this? My friends, hold on. Through this short break, I'll be right back.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I pledge my unwavering support for the president, Donald J. Trump. We face serious challenges moving into the 2024 election, and it would be foolish, of course, to ignore them. So I've been addressing these challenges. Now, today I want to point out what I believe could be the candidate challenge Trump should watch. The biggest threat to Trump in 2024 is not DeSantis, or any Republican for that matter. It's a Democrat that's talking seriously and sensibly about the vaccines. How about Robert Francis Kennedy bringing common sense back to the Democrat Party? Wow. Is that even possible? The reason RFK is gaining attention among conservative folks who are suspicious of the Republican Party already is that he's talking frankly and honestly about the vaccine problem. And I've said right along, and I mean back when Trump was talking about deploying against COVID like a military operation, framing it in those terms, and turning policy over this whole thing, over how we respond to it, into the hands of Fauci and Burke. You might remember, I was very concerned about that. And the whole medical establishment. I mean, I understand why he made those decisions, those moves. I get it. He certainly was put in a box. And it is possible that was the only move he had. I'd sure like to have been there to explore that with him. He never gave in to the mandated lockdowns, masks, or vaccines, by the way. And that'll save him. But he promoted the vaccine, and he held it out there as a signature achievement. And I said back then that if this accelerated rollout does not go well, and it might not at that time, we didn't have the information we have now, I warned, they'll pivot and drop all the blame on Trump. Anyway, my friend, if you watched the News Nation town hall with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., then you watched that man demonstrate a very high degree of knowledge about this issue and proficiency in discussing it. You watch him literally school a medical doctor who tried to take him on and explain thoroughly that he's not an anti-vaxxer, but that he believes the current system is exposing the American people to great harm by not properly studying these vaccines before they're released. You can't assail the sensibility of the argument. Now, I can't transcribe that whole thing here, but if you would follow the link I provide in my notes and give this a listen, you'll be enlightened. It's an eye-opener. When you find out that none of the childhood vaccines on the schedule right now that are routinely administered in the United States are actually beneficial or good for your children. In fact, they can be very harmful. Now, RFK also dives into the fact that the military-industrial complex is involved in the COVID vax. He pointed out that the Pfizer and Moderna were pressed into service by the military to put their brand on the vaccine, but that actually the military owns it. And, as I brought out a while back, it's a military weapon, which sets it outside civilian oversight. Whoa. So now we know, we got a lot more knowledge now. We know that Fauci, Barrick, Collins, DeJack, they were all in cahoots working on this thing. That is a coronavirus, a weaponization of a coronavirus, that when a newly seated Republican Congress in 2014 stopped the gain of functional research that was going on, under Fauci's watch. Well, Fauci, under the oversight of the Obama administration, by the way, moved the research to the Wuhan lab, and Collins, director of NIH, continued funneling funding to support this ongoing research in defiance of Congress, and did that through EcoHealth Alliance, DeJock's thing, And Barrick, by the way, continued visiting the Wuhan lab from time to time and offering assistance to the Bat Lady and her research. And when it came time for a vaccine, the military came in and took over the work that was already being done, by the way, in advance of a release of this virus in order that they might be prepared to cash in. It's a mess, folks. It's a mess of snakes all writhing, crawling over one another. And I'm not stretching my metaphors here, my friend. Listen, the fact is this virus includes cobra venom. Uh-huh. And it gets, this whole thing gets very closely connected to the serpent himself. I mean, the serpent, right? Meanwhile, Gates is working on a vaccine delivery system that will bypass voluntary consent altogether. Here you go. Quote, Gates Foundation has been funding all sorts of genetic engineering of mosquitoes. And there's a lot of talk about using mosquitoes and mosquito bites to help vaccinate certain populations. I've got four articles here that speak to that. The vaccine issue is going to gain increasing attention, I'm afraid. And as it does, well, the guns are going to start firing at Trump. They will use anything to stop him. I trust Trump has thought through how he's going to address this issue when it comes up. Is he going to start talking about this kind of thing? Maybe he has, and I just haven't caught it. But from America's frontline doctors, all right, quote, the UCSF, that's the University of California, San Francisco, chief medical officer, has issued a verbal directive that doctors, nurses, and so on, are specifically instructed not to associate the COVID vaccine to any injuries. Did you hear that? So even if they believe the vaccine caused the injury, they are not allowed to talk to the patient about it. Steve Kirsch is talking about the Amish phenomenon. They don't do vaccines, you know, in that community. And guess what? You never find any kind of ADD, autoimmune disease, pandas or pans, or kids with epilepsy among the Amish, or the Amish, excuse me. Nor do you find any of these of this in children that were not vaccinated. That's the common denominator. The U.S. government has known this for decades, but it does not fit the narrative, so you never hear about it. In fact, it runs against it. You get it? You see, the government, they just don't tell you what they don't want you to know. If people are being injured by the vaccines, well, they order the personnel to hide that from you. Now, I'm running out of time here, and I really do want to address, at least, and I get started on it, looking at this new movie release, The Great Awakening, a documentary experience, from the creators of Plandemic. Now, let me go on record as endorsing this film and encouraging every patriot to view it. Send them a little donation if you can. You spend $5 or $10 on them. What does it cost to go to a movie now? I don't even know. Anyway, let me also alert you to something that really did trouble me. It's something I've noticed consistently. Anytime any Western journalist or news media, whatever, gets brave enough to even talk about China's horrible record for abuse of human rights, and particularly in their persecution of people of faith, what I'm going to bring to your attention happens every single time. The guy that produced this is Mickey Willis, and he's an investigative filmmaker, and he does a good job, by the way, very excellent job. I mean, it's clear he has done his research in the content and presents a top-quality documentary in terms of presentation. He was a Bernie bro, yeah, a little surprising there, until he began thinking about it all and noticed the connection between Bernie's politics and the rhetoric to communist propaganda. He saw through the Bernie call for a political revolution and heard the rallying call of the Bolshevik revolution and Mao's revolution. He began to hear, as it were, the Marxist rattle of the serpent's tail and the anti-God, anti-family policies that are needed to advance Bernie's political revolution. So he put together this wonderful video that intends to awaken America. He does a great job bringing out the phenomenon of mass formation, and that's something I'll talk about tomorrow night, Lord willing, during our live stream visit. Fascinating insight and information. He talked about the effect of chronic fear and loneliness exacerbated through isolation, and how all this plays into the plan to bring an entire population to its knees, begging their oppressors for relief from their misery. But at the 37-minute and 56-second spot, he begins talking about China's abuses against religious liberty, and I'm glad he did. I was stunned, however, that he talked about the Muslim oppression, the Uyghurs, and the Falun Gong or Falun Gong group, which is Hindu, by the way, a Hindu sect, and he spoke of those two at length. He mentions the Buddhist, but he doesn't say one single word about the outrageous Christian persecution that has been going on and continues to go on in China for a very long time, far longer before the Uyghurs or Falun Gong ever showed up, my friend. What's that about? Why not mention the Christians? And again, I'm telling you, this is not unique to this particular filmmaker. Every single time China's religious persecution is mentioned, they don't talk about what he's doing to the Christians. You have to get that from some specific Christian source. And I've read the books. In fact, Xi's wife has made it her personal passion and objective to rid China of all Bible-based Christianity. Christians continue to be the most hounded, persecuted, and tortured religious group in China, and yet not one word? And if you don't think that's because Xi would become real interested in this, you're wrong, I think. He knows the Muslim Uyghurs and the Hindu Falun Gong or the Buddhists are not going to shock the West into anything like serious and concerted action, not in the way that would likely happen if they were given this much information about what's going on against Christians. Now, I think that's too bad, frankly. But Xi knows his enemy. Now, I'll let you in on another level of insight here. The prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that works in these children of disobedience, he's not threatened by the Uyghurs. He's not threatened by Falun Gong or by Buddhists. His only threat comes from Christianity. That's it. When it comes to revealing the truth about sex trafficking children and the truth about persecuting Christians or correcting the elections in America, that's where Satan will dig in and fight ferociously to protect those interests, those strongholds. You see, because Jesus is very protective regarding the little ones and his own sheep. Well, I've got to go. In parting, I want you to know that Michigan has gone over the top, passing a law that will make mispronouncing somebody a felony punishable with fines up to $10,000. So I'm going to read something to you from the Bible. Uh-oh, Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. Remember that? I'm about to read from the book our founders cited more often than any other single book. If you're seen reading from it today, you'll be scoffed at as eccentric, or, you might get arrested if you read it out in public, especially at a pervert's pride march. So, you know, you've been warned. Quote, "For the terrible one is brought to naught," means nothing, "and the scorner is consumed," means destroyed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught." So, these people watch for iniquity, and to catch you, they'll make you an offender for a word, lay a snare before you that if you reprove in the gate like I do. So, the message for the Biden administration, for Newsom, and for the rest of you: you guys are in great trouble. You think you're powerful, big shots, you know? You're nothing. You will be brought to nothing. You scorn God and his laws, you will be consumed. You watch for iniquity that you can exploit, you're going to be cut off. You make a citizen an offender because he uses words you don't like, and you set a snare for those of us who reprove your wicked deeds in the gates or in public. You know, like signing a bill, Mr. Newsom, that allows babies to be murdered up to 28 days after their birth. Outrageous. It's murder. And you turn around and you turn aside the just for your worthless ambition and your pride. Your judgment is awaking. Now, I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, or you might need the 1-1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church for the 4th of July celebration at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And your soul will be blessed and uplifted. We'll see you in church.